Because they're residents of a U.S. territory, when Puerto Ricans head to the island's polls on November 3rd, they will not be able to vote for the president. What they will be voting on is a referendum for Puerto Rican statehood and whether they should be admitted to the Union. In the last 4 years, Puerto Rico has had a $72 billion debt crisis, devastating hurricanes and earthquakes, and 500,000 Puerto Ricans have left for the U.S. mainland. All these factors are forcing a closer look at the relationship. NewsHour Weekend's Yvette Feliciano has more.
Resident Commissioner Jennifer Gonzalez Colon represents Puerto Rico in Congress and is the first woman in history to hold the position.
Why we are fighting for equality and democracy around the world, but you still do have in your backyard the oldest colony, and that's Puerto Rico.
Her party, the New Progressive Party, currently holds the governorship on the island and organized the referendum for statehood.
And it will be the first time we will have a direct question using the same model, the same ballot that was used in Alaska and Hawaii, and that should trigger a movement in Congress.
Trigger a movement because currently, Gonzalez Colon has limited voting power in Congress, which she says serves as a metaphor for how the island's government operates under its current political status. Because Puerto Rico is an unincorporated territory, Congress can override the island's laws, and Puerto Ricans receive disparate Medicaid and nutritional assistance funding.
More than 47% of the island is under the poverty level line. Most of them, women and children. And many of the reasons for this is that there are different kind of formulas for allocating funds to the territories.
And like millions of U.S. citizens who live on the five U.S. territorial islands, they cannot vote in the November presidential election.
Many Puerto Ricans have fought in all theaters of war. There's the blood of a lot of Puerto Ricans that came back in a casket with an American flag. An American flag with 50 stars, but no one representing them or the state of Puerto Rico.
In 2018, in response to the island's debt crisis, a congressionally appointed fiscal control board announced sweeping austerity measures in Puerto Rico that slashed the local government's budget by a third. In July, the board suspended those cuts for 1 year as the territory struggles to recover from hurricanes, earthquakes, and the COVID-19 pandemic. Veronica Noriega Rodriguez and Amira O'Day are two climate activists in Puerto Rico.
This relationship stops us from making our own decisions about what affects us as Puerto Ricans. We feel powerless, and I'm speaking from my perspective as a youth.
O'Day believes most mainland Americans don't understand the nuances of Puerto Rico's relationship to the U.S.
Like, they always talk about poverty or corruption or, in general, just how bad things are here. But they never explain the historical causes of why that is.
Representative Gonzalez Colon has co-sponsored a bipartisan bill that calls upon Congress and the president to take action next year if Puerto Ricans vote for statehood in November. It will be the sixth time in history that Puerto Ricans vote on the question regarding the territory's relationship to the U.S.
It's not going to have any impact whatsoever.
Pedro Caban is a professor of Latin American, Caribbean, and U.S. Latino studies at the University at Albany, who researches what he calls Puerto Rico's status as a colonial state. Caban says this year's status vote will not lead to a change for the territory, just like previous referendums.
I would argue that the fundamental objection to granting Puerto Rico statehood is the idea that Puerto Rico would attain remarkable political power. I think it would rank 16th among the 50 states.
With statehood, Puerto Rico would get 5 members in the House of Representatives and 2 senators. Caban supports a different idea introduced in Congress last month by Democratic Congresswomen Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Nidia Velasquez. They propose addressing Puerto Rico's political status by way of a constitutional convention.
There's nothing sacred that says that Puerto Rico has to be within the territorial clause of the Constitution.
In June, the Department of Justice declined to provide funding it had set aside for a Puerto Rican status referendum back in 2014, arguing the results of this year's referendum would favor statehood, since no other status options, such as independence, will be on the ballot. Although they're both critical of what they see as the island's colonial status, youth climate activists Ode and Noriega Rodriguez say the referendum is money wasted and a distraction from much more urgent matters in need of attention.
We're in the middle of a pandemic with hundreds of people dying, thousands sick, and they're wasting millions in asking this question over and over again.
Right now, we youth are calling attention to the fact that Puerto Rico's landfills are being closed. And by 2022, we will have no place to put our trash. 3 years after Hurricane Maria, and you still see people with blue tarps on their homes. This is not the first time we've had a referendum on the colonial status, and it hasn't made a difference. We should be spending this money on necessary things, like fortifying our electrical system, which we need so desperately.
Why spend the money on this referendum vote right now?
Because actually, that money is going to be an investment. This is like a gatekeeper for many other federal funds that we are not accessing now that can help not just environment, but many other areas. And when you're dealing with civil rights, it's not a money amount. It's not a dollar amount. It's about rights to the people. And that's you cannot measure that.